Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host this evening, Rasaki Maskani. And on the panel, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Professor Amin Ra, and Brother Ahi. Brother Mashinda was here and he went out, so I'm assuming that he's coming back. And that will complete the Fab Five that's always here on a weekly basis. Our guest this evening is Akinyele Imoja. He's a professor and author, and we're going to talk about his book this evening. Let me show everybody his book. Share the screen. And there it is. Right there. Can everybody see it well?
Yeah, memoir.
Memoirs, Robert and Mabel Williams. African-American Freedom, Armed Resistance, and International Solidarity. And you can see it's not real clear, but the author's name, or edited by, you can see the names down there, but we're going to have Brother AK, we call him Brother AK, and so we're going to have him talk about it and tell us what he want to do. Let me give you rights to share the screen, brother.
Very good.
You have the rights. Welcome, brother, and let's do our thing.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and share this screen right now. Give me a second. I'm almost there. I'm going to show the same image you just showed of the book. And we'll tell the family, the community, about the If you don't know the authors, I'm not actually the author of this book, as Brother Rashiki said. I'm one of the editors of this book, The Memoirs of Robert and Mabel Williams. They were two freedom fighters born in North Carolina who made a historic mark on the struggle of our people, inspired a lot of folks in the movement. Civil rights and the Black Power movement throughout the country, and really they had an international impact. This is a quote from Mabel Williams that she made in 2004. She deceased in 2014. Brother Robert passed in 1996. And she said, "One thing I'm really happy about is at last, the Iron Curtain of secrecy has been lifted on our role in the civil rights movement, because of their politics, because of their position, they've kind of been left out of our story. You know, for many years, the news of our struggle was suppressed. The powers that be did not want the example of Black people really struggling for true equality, true liberation, and did not want the example of Robert Williams out there. So I'm very happy and proud that the real story is being told." And I was actually asked by their son in 2016 to be a part of an effort to tell the next generation, and particularly the generation of activists we have in the streets, like Black Lives Matter movement and others, about the story of Robert and Mabel Williams. And so the first part of it was doing this memoir, getting it published. I worked with historian by the name of Gloria Aneb House. Aneb Kogosile is her African name. She is was a activist in the civil rights movement, student nonviolent coordinating committee. She worked with the great Kwame Ture. And then Brother John Henry Bracey, who's now an ancestor as well. He taught at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, but he was also a freedom fighter. And the movement worked with groups like the Revolutionary Action Movement. This is Robert Williams when he was a young man. Young brother grew up in Monroe, North Carolina. He would be 100 this year on February 26th. The year you see him in his zoot suit, right? Yeah. So he's a contemporary of Malcolm. They're born the same year. Yeah. And so this is what he was doing. And Robert Williams had aspirations, Brother Ra, of being a writer. But at every turn that he tried to pursue that particular profession, he was turned away. He joined the army tried to get the GI Bill. He joined the Marines and was discharged because they weren't going to put him where he would get training in that profession. He came back to Monroe, North Carolina in the 1950s, and he saw the segregation in his community. Here he is as a young Marine. And when he came back, the white folks were not allowing black people to swim in the public swimming pool that everybody was paying taxes for. And, you know, some people would say, well, why you want to swim in a pool with white folks? Because if not, when they didn't have their own pool, black children were swimming in the lakes, in the ponds with snakes, rattlesnakes, and gators and things of that nature. So, and some of them drowned without supervision. So Robert Williams, one of the first things they did was the struggle to have access to the swimming pool, public swimming pool. Again, they were paying taxes. During that time when they initiated that struggle, the local Ku Klux Klan, headed by this guy, James Catfish Cole, he said, "Negroes and white folks have always lived in peace here, and now they're trying to stir up trouble. They're communists, and communists are out to destroy our country." This similar rhetoric as we hear from some of these MAGA people today. And you see to the right of this image is Robert Williams' companion in the NAACP, Monroe, North Carolina, a doctor by the name of Albert Perry. Perry became a target of the Ku Klux Klan. And so to counter that, Robert Williams started a group called the Armed Guard, the Black Armed Guard, and they 200 black men mostly, but black men and women who armed themselves to fight against the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists. You see Dr. Perry standing by him. They first started to patrol and provide protection for Dr. Perry, but the black community overall, because during that time, whites would come into the black community, harass black women. They would, intimidate black men. So the armed guard stopped all this. And this is before a lot of the groups we know of in the 60s. This is in 1957. And so black people in Monroe began to arm themselves. People began to talk about it in Jet Magazine and other black publications during that time. Again, men and women were involved in this black armed guard. This image was in Jet Magazine during that time. Okay. Same time period of time, the Lumbee Indians were near there. And they got themselves together and broke up the Ku Klux Klan rally. Here you see the members of the Lumbee Indian tribe. I should say Indian Nation. And they come and they shut down the Ku Klux Klan and ran them out of town. This is the flag they captured from the Ku Klux Klan. So, you know, they picked up what black people were doing. But Robert Williams got national attention when this particular case happened in his community. There were two young black males, James Thompson, 9 years old, David Sampson, seven. They were playing with some white kids, and a white girl kissed him on the cheek. She went home, told her parents that she had kissed these black youth on the cheek. They arrested the youth and put them in a juvenile detention facility that they were supposed to stay at until they were 21 years old. Robert Williams tried to get it overturned locally. He went internationally using his journalism skills, and this is during the time of the Cold War. When that began to happen, federal officials put pressure on the North Carolina governor, and the young boys were released and turned over to custody of their parents. Here you see a newspaper article in a French newspaper. So it was using, particularly during the Cold War, exposing the hypocrisy of the United States, talking about it was part of the free world. Okay. Around the same time, there were two incidents of violence against black women. There was one black woman who was a maid in a hotel. A white man kicked her down the steps, saying that she was too loud. Another case, there was a white man who attempted to rape a black woman. She defended herself, got away. Both these cases were taken to court, and both the white men were released. So Robert Williams, after seeing this, after particularly after he encouraged them to go to court, the black women to go to court, he said, "We got to meet violence with violence." After he says that the NAACP would censor him and take him, the national NAACP, Roy Wilkins, if you knew Roy Wilkins, he was a more conservative black leader. He took Robert Williams out of his position as the head of NAACP in Monroe, North Carolina. But at the same time, him making that statement spoke for a lot of black folks. And Robert Williams was kind of elevated throughout the black community as a hero. Here's Roy Wilkins right here. So one of the things they did to get their word out, they created their own newsletter, The Crusader. This is the first edition of The Crusader. You can see it's not that well developed at that time, but it was Robert, it was Mabel, and their neighbor, Ethel Azalea Johnson. They began to come together and produce a newsletter, print it on their mimeograph machine. It started locally, but then they began to distribute it around the country. We'll come back to that later. In 1960, Robert Williams, and this is right after the Cuban Revolution, which is in January 1st, 1959, Fidel Castro would take power. And so Robert Williams, you see here in the center of the picture, along with Leroy Jones at that time, will become Amir Baraka. You see the great John Henry Clark here and others. They were some of the first people to go from the United States to Cuba after the Cuban Revolution. Then Rob would come back and try to go around the United States, speaking on behalf of the Cuban Revolution. This is in 1960. And it would pay benefits to him later on, just showing support for freedom fighters in other parts of the world. And at the same time, you would he see people do benefits for the struggle in Monroe. Here you see the great Max Roach and Abby Lincoln. If you don't know who they are, it's Charles Mingus and Ossie Davis. We're going to take away your hood pass. You got to know who the great Max Roach is, one of the greatest jazz drummers of all time. Abby Lincoln, his wife, great vocalist, and they sung freedom songs, and also Charlie Mingus, the great bassist. Ossie Davis was a very important actor and friend of Malcolm X. But they did these benefits for the struggle in Monroe, particularly because of the popularity of the newsletter and telling folks about the struggle in Monroe. Then you had folks in other parts of the country like James Boggs, the black intellectual worker, and his wife Grace Lee Boggs. People like John Henry Clark got the Crusader, and they would do benefits and fundraisers for the struggle in Monroe. The author John Oliver Killens, Queen Mother Moore. And I know Brother Rod knows her because she came and spoke at Long Beach State back in the day.
Stayed at my house.
Yeah, oh Lord,
You
so
know, she wouldn't stay in the hotel.
there we go. There we go. And Malcolm X. Malcolm X, when he was a member of the Nation of Islam, would have Robert Williams come speak at the Temple Number 7 in Harlem. And again, they would raise money, buy guns for the people of Monroe to fight back against the Ku Klux Klan. So this kind of pitted Robert Williams in this kind of debate with Martin Luther King. On one hand, they never did speak on podiums like this, but through journalism and through articles, they posed these two different positions of nonviolence as opposed to armed resistance, self-defense, armed self-defense, and the two different points of view in the movement. And so one of the things that the nonviolent aspect of the
I'm not
movement.
hearing you. You went out on me.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you.
Okay, and if I could go back, I said that in because of the prominence of Robert Williams, his point of view was kind of pitted against MLK's point of view. And one of the things the nonviolent movement attempted to do is in 1960, they would send nonviolent activists to Monroe, North Carolina, to show The nonviolence would work there. But what that did was infuriate the whites. And the whites exploded. They beat up a lot of the, particularly the white nonviolent activists downtown, the Freedom Riders, as they were called during that time. The community was placed on high alert. And here you see a map. The black community was mostly here on the east side. Here you see Dr. Perry's house. Here you see Robert Williams' house. The black community was called Newtown. Boyd Street was the street that Robert Williams lived on. White community is on the west side. And here you see City Hall, police station. And this was where a lot of the civil rights activists were beaten, tear gas and things of that nature. But the black community was on alert and they prepared themselves for whites to attempt to invade the community. Lo and behold, you had a white couple attempting to call the Steagles, attempting to drive through the black community like Willie and Wilhelmina Lump Lump. And brothers and sisters accosted them. The white folks begged to be taken to the home of Robert Williams. And this is after midnight, Robert Williams tells them that they want Robert Williams to escort them out of the black community. He tells them, "Nah, I'm not going for that. You're welcome to stay overnight with me." He wasn't going to allow them to be lynched by the folk. But you said you could stay overnight and I'll let you go in the morning. I'll not let you go, but you can leave in the morning on your own. So the next morning, Robert Williams receives a call from the authorities, from the state saying the state police are coming. They're about to get him, that he will be lynched in City Hall on the courthouse steps or near City Hall on courthouse steps. He decides it's best to leave town. They said, and let me add to that. Not only he would be lynched, his wife, his two sons would be lynched. And so he decides to leave Monroe for a few days, thinking things will blow over. And here you see the newspaper. Monroe under strong guard after rioting. Okay. Race violence flares in state over picketing because of the nonviolent pickets incited these pre-MAGA people, we could call them, in their racism. But the FBI manhunt was sent for Robert Williams. So he left the United States, went to Canada. He goes to Canada, and then some of y'all my age, you can remember they always say, what they said the Canadian Royal Mounties were looking for him. And if you my age or older, you heard the Canadian Royal Mounties always get their man. Right? Y'all remember that? They always get their man. But Robert Williams said, "Man, wouldn't it be great if a black man was the first man to escape the Canadian Royal Mounties? And wouldn't it be even better if that black man was me?" Now, what he didn't know was Fidel Castro put out word that if Robert Williams reached any of their embassies, that he should be given shelter. And even more importantly than that, through the connections Robert Williams made, then he was assisted in getting to Cuba. And one thing we want to mention is in Monroe, one of his supporters, Mae Mallory, was arrested, went underground for a while. They caught her, and they put her and a couple of Robert Williams supporters on trial. They were convicted, but eventually released because they were able to show that no blacks were allowed to be on the jury because why they didn't allow us to register to vote, right? That's how you get on the jury roll. But Fidel Castro engineered the Cuban Revolution, engineered to get Robert Williams from Canada to Cuba, and in Cuba, he was given political asylum. Here is a paper was printed in the Baltimore Afro-American or DC Afro-American. A black reporter, William Worthy, goes to Cuba and interviews Robert Williams about his ordeal and how he got there. Escapes FBI net in Canada and in Mexico. They were looking for him all over. And here you see the Crusader began to be produced from Cuba with the support of Cuban workers, right? Here you see this image of Fidel Castro stopping white supremacists from crossing the water to get to the Williams family at that particular time. Okay. You see a photo of Robert Williams in Cuba. And while in Cuba, he and Mabel, again, they produce the Crusader. They smuggle it back into the United States. It's distributed throughout the United States. But then even beyond that, they are allowed to do a radio program called Radio Free Dixie. Robert Williams said this is the first true radio where black people could say what they want to say and didn't have to worry about sponsors. They didn't have to worry about censors. And this is, he said this in 68. Okay. And let me say this, they would play music, jazz or R&B, but they would give news about what was happening to our struggle across the United States. Okay, and they would have these images. And I didn't find out when we were doing the book that Mabel Williams actually drew many of these images. Okay, and just putting out the message here, it shows the dark world, as Malcolm X would talk about, and the world of white supremacy and racism, and say, you're a majority, Charlie, just look behind you. Okay, so they were promoting that, we needed to combine what our people of African descent, Asians and Latin, they call them Latinx people today. We were trying to get unite the multitude against white supremacists. From there, he also produced a book called Negroes with Guns. That was his first book. And then after this occurrence in Birmingham, Alabama, 16th Street Baptist Church bomb by the Ku Klux Klan, and the deaths of four female children, Addie Mae Collins, Carol Robinson, Cynthia Wesley, and Denise McNair, we want to say their names. Robert Williams said from his international position, he would ask leaders across the world to comment on this and condemn racism in the United States. And it was Mao Zedong, the first and the only really leader to emerge to condemn it. He said the evil system of colonialism and imperialism arose and throve with the enslavement of Negroes and its trade in Negroes and will surely come to its end with the complete emancipation of the black people. That was Mao Zedong, 1963. Here's his statement that was also republished in The Crusader. You see, August 8th, 1963. And Robert and Mabel were invited to Cuba to speak to Mao at that particular time. And they and their sons were taken to tour, I said Cuba, China, excuse me, China during that particular time. And they toured China and became supporters of the Chinese Revolution. Here you see Mao Zedong giving Robert a copy of the Red Book. And then Robert given the violence against black people at that time in the country began to promote the whole concept that black people could fight back. There could be a minority revolution, he said, in the United States. He also began to get support from various parts of our community. If you heard of Oyatunji Village in South Carolina, the Yoruba community there, you remember their king, Osagyemon, and his African Nationalist Petition Party of North America. In 1962, they made Robert Williams their president. These two brothers were organizers for a SNCC in Mississippi. They were distributing their newsletter, The Crusader, in Mississippi during that time. So Robert Williams, even though he's exiled, he has impact in the United States. Here's Max Stanford, also known as Muhammad Ahmed, who was in the NAACP rally and 1963, Robert Williams is in Cuba, but he's promoting armed Negroes for self-defense because he's a supporter of Robert Williams. Soul Book, which was produced in Northern California, began to promote and do ads for the Crusader. And then you see these young men out of Detroit, this young man and this young man out of Northern California. They went in 1964 to meet with Robert Williams in Cuba, and they created a group called the Black Liberation Front. They began to come back and promote his ideas. This conference is at FIST, 1964. So again, he's having impact. He's invited to Vietnam in 1965. Ho Chi Minh invites him there, and Robert Williams gives this speech in solidarity with the Vietnamese people against aggression by the United States. Similar to our leaders like King and Muhammad Ali, who opposed the Vietnam War. Here's Robert Williams speaking in China, and it's 117th anniversary. He would eventually, by this point, move to China and give an exile in China. And he produces this pamphlet while he's in China to speak to black soldiers fighting in Vietnam. Robert Williams would also travel to the African continent. Here you see him and his wife Mabel in Tanzania in East Africa. And while they weren't given asylum in Africa, they did were allowed to have tourist status, and because it was always his desire to move, to live at some point in the motherland. But his plan was always to really to return to the United States, because he said that's where his struggle was. He's on the continent again. And then in 1968, you see Queen Mother Moore here and other black power leaders. They formed a group, the Republic of New Africa, a black government. And here you see they made Robert Williams their president of this black government. There are some other notable figures in this piece. You see Minister of Culture, Malana Karanga, Leroy Jones, Osagyemon Adefumi. One of my teachers used to run a print shop in South Central LA, Brother Oboboa Wolo. Okay, so Betty Shabazz was the vice president, the widow of Malcolm X. So this was like a black government, but a black United Front. Here's Robert Williams' telegram accepting being the president, and then the leaders of the RNA went to Tanzania to meet with him while he was in Tanzania during that particular time. Here you see him. It was reported in Jet Magazine. And here he's meeting with not only Gaidi Obadeli, who was also a lawyer for Malcolm X. He was a lawyer for Robert Williams as well, based in Detroit. But these are other brothers are leaders of African liberation movements. And so here's a crusader that came out supporting the Republic of New Africa concept. I'm talking about this mixing pot to cook up the black man. See the Ku Klux Klan on one side and these other people on the left. Okay, and so, but Robert Williams does, to kind of cut to the chase, he does return to the United States in 1969. Here's Gaidi Obadeli again, who engineered it for him to come to Michigan, and they were able to fight extradition for him going to back to North Carolina to stand trial until later. Okay. And so he lived in Michigan for a while. He's with other Republic of New Africa leaders. Here in Mabel at the press conference. And they would continue to work in Michigan, and then he would finally return to North Carolina in 1976, and charges were dropped against him at that particular time. And here he continued to kind of work, maintain communication with folks in China. In fact, one of the reasons they didn't arrest him right away, because a lot of Robert Williams goes to China before Nixon goes there. Most Americans had not been to China, so they wanted to find out what this man knew about China. Because why? Because China was what, one fourth of the world's population? They want to sell some stuff over there. But Robert Williams was able to live as an elder in Michigan, was did some quiet activism in Michigan, wrote his memoir, and he would pass in 1996. And so the story of Robert and Mabel Williams, as I said, Mabel continued to work as a community activist and promote the legacy of their family, and she would pass in 2014. So I'm gonna stop right here and see if there are any questions or commentary. I'm curious what the panel actually knew about the Williams, or if they had any experiences with them. He didn't come to LA much. In fact, I don't remember him coming to Los Angeles when I was growing up. Of course, Rob, we would have had him at,
But
at
Mabel
school.
did. Mabel came recently. She came
Oh, she came. She came.
before she passed. She came to the Culture Center. So
Ah.
yeah, Maulana had her there, and with a beautiful presentation, because the discussion was lively and all about Robert. But I thought he was also part of the Deacon for Defense.
The deacons actually were inspired by him. They
Okay. Okay, was inspired.
he's like 4 years. He leaves the country in 60, and I think the deacons were formed in 64.
And the beautiful thing about this presentation, this is a classic. First of all, this is a classic because most people just knew Robert Williams was about defense and things of this nature.
Right.
They didn't know about his travels and his networking and training others. And he went to Cuba before Asada, and got
Exactly.
yeah, man. Man, this is a classic, man. Stevie, this is the importance of Black studies, man, African studies, man. This should be taught about our resistance, man. Because he's a major figure, man. But they should, for whatever reason, our historians, John Hope Franklin and all of them, they didn't deal with resistance movements,
Well, that's part of what, I kind of see as my job.
Yeah, well, you did a great job on this, bro. I love it. I'm gonna get the book, and I'm gonna be singing this song, brother.
I appreciate it. That means you
Okay.
don't know how much it means to me, Barbara.
Yeah, man. Man. I wish we had the Black Consciousness Conference still going.
Man,
Mm-hmm.
one of your students, I'm trying to remember the brother's name. He came down here to Atlanta. He took some classes for us, and that was one of the things he said. We need to get the Black Conscious Conference. And man, I used to love those conferences.
Man, I have some pictures. I'm going to try to get
Oh, that would be beautiful.
them to you. Excuse me. It's a cough.
Because I remember
What
when you
was the name of
came
the
way much
group?
more.
Y'all was the New African People?
You knew African People's Organization.
Yeah, that was y'all, right?
Yeah.
And then you had, what's the brother? He passed, was the dancer with Maury Nimba.
You talking about Brother Dadisi?
About DC, yeah, man.
Yeah,
And he
yeah.
had Malcolm X Center
Yeah,
around
he
the
had the
corner.
Malcolm X Center on Broadway, and we had
Yeah.
Center for Black Survival on Main Street.
Yeah.
And then, but then I think after I moved, they moved on Vermont, and it was at that time called Malcolm X Center for Self-Determination.
Okay, yeah. That's probably where
I
I
knew Dot DC. He was a great man and a great
Man,
artist.
man. Man, they used to dance on one arm and all that, fly through the air, man.
Right.
I got a picture of them dancing at Du Bois graduation.
The WB Du Bois School.
Yeah, with the sister, I forget her name.
Oh
Right
Lord.
across the street from Martha's Garden.
Right,
Yeah,
right, right. Her son D Don, I know him.
well, that's Earl Parker's sister, a brother.
Oh.
Long Beach, he went to Long Beach State with us,
Right, I know of Earl.
Earl and his brother Pete.
Yeah.
That's his sister.
Ah.
Man, we got some memories, bro. We got that history. But this book on Mabel and him, I may have took a picture with Mabel at the center. I can't remember because I was there, but I can't remember because the brother that took the pictures, he passed. Mpenduzi, but and
Yeah,
he,
I know him.
yeah, Mpenduzi
In
made me,
us organization. He passed about a year or two ago, right? Yeah.
Mpenduzi. He represented us in well, the us organization in Haiti, and he was he dealt with the network in Haiti, But this book, brother, man, y'all have done a great job in giving Robert and Mabel their due recognition for their contributions to our struggle, man. And model to emulate for resistance and commitment and steadfastness, you know. Ooh, man, I didn't know he did all the things you all pointed out. You know, and I was teaching Black Studies, but you know, I just dealt with him as a just, you know, gun toting brother who would fight.
Right.
We didn't know all the things that he was doing, man. I didn't know he went to China. I didn't know he went to Cuba, went to you know, Vietnam. Damn, man. And this was when we was in college.
Right.
68 and 69, and we wasn't hearing about it. I wasn't, I don't know about you were, but I wasn't here.
I was a little bit younger, and let me see, I was 69. I was in the ninth grade at Enterprise.
Yeah, well, at that time you had Martin Luther King assassination, Malcolm and
Right, right.
so you know, we were preoccupied with a lot of stuff, and you had the Watts Rebellion, then you had the Detweiler Rebellion, and you know, it's just a lot
Right.
of stuff going on, man. And the Vietnam War, and
I
oh
feel
man,
blessed I grew up during that time, though,
yeah,
because
man.
I think it really impacted and changed my life. I remember when I was like in the ninth grade, hardly anybody went to school on Malcolm X's birthday. I don't know if it was his birthday or something. And Rasha Key,
Yeah.
you went to Compton High, right?
Yeah.
What year did you graduate?
83.
83. Oh, you young guy.
Yeah. Baby, it
But I remember my sister graduated probably a little after you, Rod. She graduated in 69 from Compton High.
Yeah, I graduated in 66, but
Yeah.
what I like about this book, how you spent so much time in Detroit.
Right.
Well, man, you know, Detroit was jumping, man.
Right. Very much so.
That's where Elijah Muhammad and
Right.
Master Farrar, I don't know, I can't remember.
Yeah, Master Farrar went through Detroit and Malik
Yeah, Master Farrar.
there.
Yeah,
And
that's
then after Farrar left, that's when Elijah says that it was revealed to him that Farrar was a messenger. Not
Yeah,
the messenger, he was
God.
Allah.
He was God.
Yeah, and then
And
they ran Elijah out of town. That's
yeah.
why he goes to Chicago. But then, because of his opposing the draft, and he became a hero because people showed the sacrifice. I think during World War II, he was saying the Japanese were our allies. We shouldn't be fighting against them, you know. Because so he became a hero for many black people in the Islamic movement.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Asiatic black man. Who is the colored man and who is the original man?
Okay, I ain't heard
The
that in a long time. Who's the colored man? Yep.
white
Good
man,
blessings.
man. He colors everything. He's
Right.
the
Right, right,
original
right, right.
Yeah, man. But anybody else have any questions about
Well,
Sabine?
I'm gonna go to Ernest McBride and then I'll hear. Ernest?
And the only thing, you know, when the Umoja,
Yes, sir.
it's kind of talking about Robert Williams. I said, man, he was kind of like my dad with the NAACP because they thought he was so radical, the organization here, because he's fighting for jobs and against police brutality, and he'd go to all these businesses and picket the place and force them to hire black person, and then he would take the picket line down, you know.
Right.
Got my sister hired as the first black clerk type as a general telephone company, which is it's just, and got her hired as a clerk typist, you know. So, and that was like in 54, somewhere along there. But then, like, the local branch here kind of got mad at him, man. You too, militant like, and so
Militant.
they had Roy Wilkins to come out here, and he said, because we think he's communism. That's what some of his own branch members. So they start kind of putting pressure on them to stop. And say, Roy Wilkins came out in when he talked to Roy. He said, well, what have you been doing? He said, well, I've been, if I find a business that's all white and they cater to blacks and they don't have a black working there, I put pressure on them to hire somebody.
Mm.
He said, well, you doing the right thing. Keep it up.
Oh, that's good.
Had a Paul Robeson come out in. Him and did a fundraiser for us.
What?
And then Harold Belafonte's wife, Marguerite Belafonte, and Yolanda Robeson. We had them at the house twice.
What?
Mother doing teas for them. Yeah.
You have any photos of that?
This was in 52, 53, and
right.
Like in junior high school, then ninth grade, So I didn't kind of pay that no mind, but that's what kind of they started branding him as being a communist.
Right. So
what they did, they got together him and group because he had a black baseball team here that he was managing here in Long Beach.
What so were they called?
Together, the Long Beach Colored Giants.
Wow.
So they were semi-pro,
Wow. In
fact, they used to play against the Pasadena Dukes, and every year the Dukes. They would beat the Dukes. So one year they played the Dukes beat them. And my dad said, who's that young kid? They went out to UCLA and got Jackie Robinson.
Wow.
Beat my dad and them that year. And he said, well, he sure can play, So they went and formed, they decided we're going to form a secondary group, call it the Anti-Discrimination Committee. And then let them, and when we do all this fighting, we're going to do it under the guise of the Anti-Discrimination Committee and try to protect the NAACP. So he kind of went through the same thing where they tried to ostracize him for doing what he was doing. And then later on, Benjamin Hooks came out and told him essentially the same thing. I don't know if they told him to try to protect the NAACP and do your fighting under the anti-discrimination group, So he kind of went through the same stuff. It all sounds familiar when I hear you talk about what they were doing to the guy, But I never heard of Mr. Robin Williams. I got to get that book too,
And I know my first book, We Will Shoot Back. A lot of the NAACP activities in Mississippi, same type of activity, and they would accuse them of being communists. A lot of them fought back and did that grassroots organizing like your father was doing.
You can see that's where my dad was born, in North Carrollton, Mississippi. And he left. Say he got sick of Mississippi because when he was about 10 years old, because they couldn't get no education, no black schools, the mother said, hey, we moving to Little Rock, Arkansas, because that's the closest place where black can get formal schooling, And then he stayed in Little Rock till he was about 20. That was like in 1930, and he came out here to California.
Thanks, Rashi Keith, for posting.
Started the NAACP branch in 1930, got together with some of his ball players. Because my wife told him, you're always talking about him, so why don't you start a branch here? So they did, and they started the branch, and then they celebrating their 85th year.
Wow.
So
85th year.
Yeah, they kind of kept it going there.
Yeah, they did. That's a victory right there.
Yeah. Okay, Ahi, next, Rashi Keith.
Yeah, Brother Ahi.
Yes, it's just amazing, you brothers, what you guys bring to the table. And, the Boz family is a real struggle here in Detroit. And my little cousin is an alumnus of the school that they named after her. And they're still trying to push those principals in the school. The Boz is here in Detroit.
Yeah. Grace Lee Boz and James Boz.
Yes, Grace Lee.
Hell yeah,
They named the school after them.
Wow. Here, I didn't know that.
On the east side there.
I know, but they have the institute that's named after them, right?
Yeah, but they have a school. They have a school.
And you in Detroit now?
I am in Detroit, yes.
Okay. We
And I re
up there because Aneb House, who's one of the co-editors, she is she was a professor at University of Michigan Dearborn. And
Okay.
so I think they're going to be bringing us to Wayne State in November.
Okay.
And then Robert Mabel's daughter-in-law, Lisa, she's with us on trying to promote the book as well.
Yeah, I need to get a I want I'm going to get a copy of that. And I remember the Center of the Black Survival and the work that you brothers and sisters put in. I even took a couple of classes there,
Oh,
my
thank
roommate.
you. Wow.
I really don't have too much to contribute to this. I'm just fascinated with I'm just thankful that you're telling the story.
Thank you, Brother Ron. What period did you come through the center?
That's like about 84, 84, 85. I know we had a conference here in Detroit that year.
Oh yeah, it was probably
And
'83, with Chokwe Lumumba.
right, Chokwe, Brother
Yeah, the
Chokwe.
Black Nation Day Conference.
Exactly. And
Yeah, I didn't come that year. My
Farrakhan
daughter
spoke
was
there.
born a few weeks before the conference, my oldest child.
Right,
But I
right.
tell you what, Chokwe's son was born during the conference, and he's not he was mayor of
Yeah.
Jackson until recently. I saw him a few weeks ago. He came here to visit because he's like a nephew to me.
Can I ask you this about Chokwe, brother?
Yes, sure.
Was he known to have any heart ailments or illnesses
Ooh,
prior to his death?
not.
Because it sure was funny how he passed all of a sudden when he was
Yeah.
about to come into the mayorship
He
of
was the mayor.
Jackson.
He
He
was
was
the
the
mayor.
mayor, right?
He was
And
only
then
mayor though for, let me see, maybe 6 months, 7 months, something like that. He was appointed mayor in what, July of 2013, and he died in February of 14. And
Yeah, he was the attorney for the RNA, I
right.
think, for Africa.
And for many of the Black Liberation Army people too, he was in Tupac's attorney, several people. Asada, he did Asada's case on one case. Chokwe, we didn't know about any heart problem, but we did a lot of people didn't know he was a cancer survivor. And he had just completed chemo maybe while he was mayor that December, I believe. And but he had a heart. I'll say this too, and I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'll say it anyway. His wife passed in like 2006, I think, somewhere around there. And after that, Chokwe, he worked real hard, but he didn't get much sleep. His eating was irregular. He was real driven. I would stay over sometime visiting Mississippi, because the book, Rashiki just showed. I did a lot of research from his house. I would, stay there, but he might sleep 1 or 2 hours an evening. And so he just worked real hard. It's interesting. This is what a white governor of Mississippi who spoke at his funeral. He said that Chokwe had done more in the 6 months or whatever it was that he was mayor of Jackson than any previous mayor had done in the history of Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, we had him at the Black Conference. Or not, I don't know if we had him at Black History Month, but he came to Long Beach.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I probably came with him.
I'm pretty sure we had him there.
Yeah, I probably came with him. Y'all should bring everybody down there.
Man, we was hopping.
I
We was
know.
hopping, man. We was trying to put it down.
Professor Ra, I sent you a copy of the one of the programs from the Black Consciousness Conference.
Okay, I'm glad.
I texted to you. I'm having it framed at a shop, and you know, of course, the page is
That's okay, good. Thanks,
copied.
brother.
Yeah,
Santé, Santé.
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
man.
But yeah, I was surprised to find that
And
Black
now,
Consciousness.
and Queen Mother was a Garveyite, and
Most
she,
definitely.
well, I forget her. Was her sister Margaret? Was her sister? She always would break up her sister.
Oh, Lord. Lord. Oh, man.
I can't remember her sister, Louise or something. And
Yeah, it was
she,
with an E. Eloise.
Eloise, she would always talk about her sister. And
Yeah.
but she would, I saw her in a number of pictures with Robert Williams.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, yeah, she was in there with that. You know, my mother, you know, she came to, we had her in Long Beach, we took her to Northridge to speak. And she was standing at my house with and Chokwe Lumumba. Remember him, Chokwe
Oh yeah.
Lumumba, the attorney? I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah,
You know.
he passed as Brother Ahi said, he had a heart failure and passed
Chokwe.
and yeah, February
No,
2014.
not Chokwe. Abubakari.
Oh, Imari.
Abubakari.
Oh, Shaka.
Yeah.
I lost track of him too. I lost track of Shaka. I remember he, those ads he used to have on KJLH. He put out black African history facts.
They jabbed Checker when he go to court, and he had somehow his license wasn't right, and they gave him a case for that for a little
Yeah.
while, but they didn't want to make it too big because that would mess up all the cases he defended, you know. But yeah, me and him was real close, man. You
Good brother. He was a real
know,
good
yeah,
brother.
man.
I lost track of him.
Yeah, we all have, man. I've been looking for him, you know, because he really took care of me, man, in many ways, you
Yeah, that was a strong community. I think about Brother LeGrand Clegg. I saw him a couple of years ago down here.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure,
Yeah,
especially being a Comptonite.
he,
And
you know,
he went to the same high school
he's up
as
there in age now, gray, and but he, I see him, I talk to him like every now and then. We used to change texts with information for a little while,
Yeah, send him my regards.
you know, I will, brother.
I'll show you something in a minute, but keep going.
No, you have any
I was
questions?
gonna show you. We did the demonstration out there at the was it the Crypto Center when we was doing it for the Good Times animation show. Yeah, he was there, and I interviewed. Well, I did a quick interview with him. I could show you it.
He spoke down here maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he formed CAVE, remember? Coalition Against Black Exploitation.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they were deep on that. I got a video of them of that. Man, I got so much stuff I gotta find. Ooh.
You got an archive, huh?
Man, you know, and see, you know, when we first started videoing Reel to Reel. Then it came the big thing, then it came cassettes, and oh man.
Now I remember you did do a lot of documenting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We need to get those digitized, bro.
Yeah, man. And that's when I was at y'all center when they elected me to be chair of the Black United Front Organizing Committee in
I
LA.
remember that.
Yeah, man, that was good.
I was there that day.
Yeah, brother. That was a beautiful thing. We were moving then, man,
Right.
at the Black Law Society. I haven't heard from Brother Duran.
But yeah, a Kwaku Durin.
Yeah, Kwaku. He was
I
in,
have
he had an office out here for a little while.
right over there on was it on Compton
Compton
Boulevard?
Boulevard. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing it over there.
Yeah.
Is that LeGrand?
That's him.
Wow. I remember he used to have that fro.
used to have a big one.
Wow. So yeah, y'all, is that when Steph Curry was playing there that night or something?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I heard that.
I was with Quab and I was there also.
So he's not responded at all to any of the challenges around his show.
Well, I don't know if he's directly responding, but they did stop the they didn't have the second season.
Good.
They're doing a rotation of the first season though, but they did have a I would say a victory with protesting.
Yeah,
Yep.
that's good.
So yeah.
Now that all that's important because we're talking about our minds, you know, and impact particularly on the youth. Like, you know, I have grandchildren, so I don't want them reviewing anything like that.
Not at all. Even adults don't need to see nothing filthy like that.
Right. But you know, I didn't know about it, even know about it till I think it was Quabina told me about it I'm on the email chain, and so I saw about it because I didn't know it, and I think he might have contacted me because they had a meeting here in Atlanta a couple years ago, and I was able to get them a place to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Activism. It's a must.
Yeah, no, we can't stop fighting.
So, anything you want to leave us with, Brother AK?
Well,
Is it
no,
on Amazon? Is the book on Amazon?
it's on Amazon.
Okay.
And if y'all could get your black bookstores to order it out there as well. I'm gonna try to see if there's some point I could even come to California, to Southern California. I'm actually supposed to go to Northern California in October with the book. We're supposed to be speaking at a couple of schools up there.
Is Oba Chicken Chocolate still around?
Yeah, over to Shaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still I'm in touch with him. In fact, he has a YouTube program that comes on Saturdays.
Okay.
I've been on there a couple of times.
Okay.
But yeah, in fact, I need to get on there with this. But I talked to him a few weeks ago. Yeah, he's not at San Francisco State anymore, but he's still doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. He,
Give me warm greetings when you see me.
most definitely. I'll do that. Most definitely. Now just this in fact, we talked about Chokwe Lumumba tonight. That's the next book I'm working on is to publish some of his speeches and writings.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that I'll be doing that and doing some other things. You know, I got if I'm blessed with health, there'll be a couple of other books we'll have coming out.
Well, keep up the great work, brother. Appreciate you for real.
Well, you know, I love talking to y'all because y'all come from my where I come from. So,
Born and raised in Compton.
well, I was born in L.A., but I was raised in Compton.
Yeah.
All my from first grade through senior high school, Compton Unified Schools.
Okay, well.
It wasn't even called Compton Unified Schools when I started. It's called some. I forgot what it was called, but no. So that's what. And then I took some courses at Compton College as well.
Yeah, I have a AA from Compton College.
Hey.
Got my AA from there.
And Professor Rob was on the board over there, right? I remember that.
We have a series called Born and Raised in Compton, so I will be calling you about that.
Please.
Yeah.
That's what the first one to tell me about it was Ernest Hall.
Well, you talking about a while ago? Well, now this one is actually new, so I'll tell you about it.
Okay, I'm looking forward and I definitely participate.
Good, good. All right, Professor Rod, do we have anything for Tuesday?
I gotta remember, man. See, I'm having a senior moment right now. I'll call you in the morning.
Okay.
I think it was I can't think of who it was, man. We got somebody. I'll let you know.
Okay, so next week there's no show for our C the CEN show on Wednesday. But in 2 weeks we have Brother Chawara, and he's going to be extending his talks about the new faculty of thinking. So that should be interesting.
Sounds good.
All right. So we're gonna take go, what'd you say, Rob?
No, man. Umoja, man, keep up the good work, Doctor. Doctor, yeah, keep up the good work, man. You're doing great. Man. I'm glad you're publishing because you got the experience on the front line and you got the academic skill to put it on paper. And I, man, it's a beautiful thing to see you publishing it, man. I really appreciate that, man.
Let
Pleasure,
me.
pleasure to be here. Because you got the documentary, and I'm looking for that Lumumba book to come out too. Yeah, I'll be
Means
getting
a
both.
lot to me, Baba.
Oh, yeah, you must be kind. Yeah, of
Right.
course. Of
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on, sharing with us, and educating us, because that's some real good information. A
I
lot of people don't
appreciate it.
know about that, so they get it here at the CN show in Conscious Corner.
Much appreciated to my brothers.
All
All
right,
right.
so we're gonna take our pause. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.
Peace.